Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is the 13th one we've done, and one of the bigger guests, if not the biggest one, Tim Wincecum, joined me for a few minutes to talk about how he got here, how he became an angel, and kind of where he goes from here. So that one is coming up. It's a little bit shorter than most of the interviews that I've done, but Tim was a little bit busy this weekend. I will say he talks pretty fast, so that makes up for the length a little bit. And then after that, if you stick around, Chris Happ joined me to talk about what we saw and also some of our memories from covering Tim. And for me, I had him for 4 years. Chris had his whole career, so we talked about that afterwards. If you're new to the podcast, I'd recommend going back and finding some of the older ones. We've had 13 of them now. A lot of Giants have come on and told stories, and I think those ones hold up. And if you're looking for more on Wincecum's return to the Bay Area, go to csnbayarea.com and read a couple stories there. For now, here's Tim Wincecum. Tim, welcome back to the Bay Area. First of all, how do you feel in red?
Good, man. It's a little different, obviously, just because the last 9 or so years have been in black and orange, but it's just good to be back on a major league field and on a major league team starting again.
This has been a long road for you, I know, ever since last year when you got hurt. What's been the hardest part of the last, I guess, 8-9 months for you, the rehab, the whole process?
I think the hardest part was watching during spring training. I wasn't with the team yet, and I knew I was still fighting for the will to get back on the field again. It was just not the opportunities necessarily that I thought were going to be out there, but, you know, things panned out. This opportunity to be on the West Coast with the Angels and close to home has definitely worked out for me, and definitely looking forward to being out there.
Where are you physically compared to the last couple of years?
Physically, my hip just feels a lot better. I got a lot more range in my hip. I feel stable. Not a whole lot of instability on it. My flexibility's solid, and I feel like I got more consistency in my delivery.
When you look back on kind of the end of your Giants run and knowing your hip wasn't right, how much going out there every day did that affect you?
It did, and to the point it just had to be. I had to accept it. You know, obviously it was hard to accept the fact that I knew I was going to need surgery at some point, but I always was wanting to try to fight through it. The pain wasn't too excruciating to the point where I couldn't fight through it. But I just tried to leave my heart out there on the field and just give it the best I could. Obviously, it wasn't enough during some games. But like I said, I was a grinder. I tried to compete as well as I could and just give the best I could.
The Giants, obviously, I think they made it clear they viewed you as a reliever coming back. And you want to keep starting. What internally for you, being a starter, why is that so important, I guess?
I just don't feel like I'm out of the game, out of the role yet as being a starter. I don't think I'm out of the game. Is there I compete well? If I can just do a lot better job of staying healthy, obviously that's not something that was under my control fully. But now that I do, I have that. I got a team that works with me well and will keep me out there every fifth day. So I'm looking forward to being healthy again.
When I talked to your dad a couple months ago, he said we're not looking at this year. We're looking long term. We're looking at Tim's career and what he can do for the rest of his career.
Yes.
What are you looking at, kind of going forward beyond just these first few starts here?
Just taking advantage of them. Obviously, this is my chance to try to keep myself in the game as a starter, and I want to do well. I think that's my dad said it right. I mean, obviously, we're not fighting for just this year. Obviously, I want to compete and do well and give this team the best chance to win. But we're fighting for next year, and I think this is the door that kind of keeps that open. This is the action that kind of keeps that open. So, with that, I'm just looking forward to it. And like I said, being in the game as a starter, I think, is somewhere where I belong. So,
has this kind of been refreshing for you, going through this whole process?
Refreshing? Yes.
In terms of getting getting back to your roots a little bit, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I think I remember when Zito went through his AAA stint, he talked about his perspective he gained and appreciation for the game and what guys go through to get here. And, you know, it's definitely a lot of work. I put a lot of work, but you see with the grind that other people go through, it makes you appreciate being up here a whole lot more.
You told me earlier you haven't watched much baseball. You kind of subdued yourself in rehab mode and getting back. I know the Giants are a good team.
Yeah,
but.
Definitely. I think it was just once spring training hit and it started to become a little bit emotionally hard for me to kind of grasp that I wasn't going to be ready for it and I wasn't going to be competing out there with a team. I kind of detached myself and tried to focus on myself as much as possible.
I got to ask you one from my Twitter followers. A few people that said they saw you at a taco shop in San Francisco a few weeks ago, and it always gets Giants fans going. What is your connection still to San Francisco and the city?
I think it'll always be a connection with the fans just because they've embraced me so well. I mean, I've gone through a lot of stuff with this team, and you know, whether that be off-the-field stuff or on-the-field, they've always embraced me regardless, and I've been lucky with that because, you know, that always hasn't been good. And other than that, I think the connection I have with the fans is one of, you know, they can relate to me. I can relate to them. I'm not an overly sized guy, so I think that's where the connection came from with kids trying to come up and make it themselves in the game. It doesn't become a cookie cutter thing when they see guys like me or players like myself. So I just kind of hopefully create hope in a way. So
even today, I think you're the most popular guy out there signing autographs.
Yeah, it was a little different, but like I said, it's good to be back in the Bay Area and have this close of a support system.
Well, Tim, I know Giants fans are watching, and your teammates were all watching your showcase on laptops in the clubhouse, so I think everybody's watching it and wishing you the best. And I appreciate you taking the time here.
No, thank you, Alex.
Thanks, Tim.
Appreciate it, man.
Chris Half, my friend, my fellow beat writer, neither one of us went to Tampa, so I think it was an easy call to come out here today and watch Tim Wincecum. I covered him for 4 years. You covered his whole career. What was kind of your snap impression of what we saw today?
I thought we saw bits and pieces of what we've seen the last few years, Alex. You know, some ineffectiveness, but for the most part, a lot of some of the good things we've seen. Him continuing to adjust to the diminished velocity. And, you know, he can still win with 88, 89, 90 miles an hour, you know, as long as he spots it well.
Yeah, I thought the fastball today was, you know, we got used to the last couple of years, especially last year, seeing a lot of 86s, 87s. Today it was mostly 89, 90, which is still not, like he said, we just talked to him and he said, I don't throw the hard cheese anymore, but it's still enough, I think, in this league, if you can spot it.
If you can spot it and if you can mix it up, changing speeds. Early on in today, as you remember, Alex, he was getting ahead of guys really well, throwing a lot of first pitch strikes, even getting ahead. I've counted four or five guys among the first, I think, seven hitters. He got ahead 0-2. As long as you're doing that, you can, you can pretty much pitch at any velocity.
Still has the changeup. Still willing to throw in any count a changeup or a slider. I think we saw that today too, and that's something he's always done well.
A good point. I think he got out of the first inning by throwing that changeup for strike three, and I mean it practically burrowed itself under home plate, and that's what you want to see from Tim Wincecum.
Having covered him, I think he's different than every other starting pitcher in that he will talk to you before a start, and he will. I remember at Yankee Stadium one time, I had a half-hour conversation with him about San Francisco neighborhoods, and at some point I was like, Timmy, you're starting in 90 minutes at Yankee Stadium, and that's just who he is. It looked like it was more the same today, but he did tell us that he was nervous last night and had trouble sleeping.
He's human, obviously, Alex, and I think he's used to a certain standard. He does, as you mentioned, as relaxed and as genial as he is. I mean, he still holds himself to a high standard. He doesn't want to fail, obviously, but he's used to succeeding. And I think maybe there's a little bit of fear of failure there, but I think it's a healthy fear of failure. It'll drive him to, keep improving and building on this effort we saw today.
Where do you think this all ends up? I have my thoughts on Timmy, but where do you think you've seen him since he walked into camp the first time and blew everybody away? Where do you think this all goes?
He'll never blow everybody away again. I do think he'll have some rough outings. There'll be times when that third inning we saw today, where the A's had really looked like the genesis of a big inning. There'll be times when it blows up in his face. At times, though, there will also be times when he has more games like today, maybe even improves upon today a little bit. So I see maybe a little bit better than the 500 record if things go well for, if he keeps on getting run support, that's another issue, I guess. And maybe re-signing with the Angels and having a pretty decent career.
I wonder where he ends up after this. I don't know if it's in the American League or He did say it was weird not taking BP early. I know he's, you know, a good athlete, somebody who always liked being out there. I wonder if he ends up back in the National League at some point.
Well, this I'll say, and I guess I'm contradicting myself. I was kind of surprised, and not that he's lame or weak or anything, but that he goes to the league which has nine hitters and you can't get the pitcher out. So he may, migrate to the National League after all. And nothing's impossible. I don't want to get people's hopes up. But I wouldn't.
I know where you're going.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule out him returning to the Giants. It's just people just go back there. It's just home for them.
Yeah, Travis Ishikawa's back. Machi's back. Everybody comes back. I think we saw it today. And I saw part of the reason I came out here. It was to cover Tim, but also the interest is still there. I think from a large chunk of the fan base.
They'll take him back as long as he can throw a ball even remotely near home plate, and just wait till pretty soon. Oh God, maybe not. Hope not too soon. They'll start having these World Series reunions and stuff like that, and you can imagine what kind of reception he's going to get from the fans then. I mean, he is still, as you referred to, he is still wildly popular in this area.
I still thought last year he was one of the five most popular, maybe one of the three or four most popular Giants. There's no way to actually judge that, but you just see on opening day and things like that, you see the ovations he get. We saw it today. I saw a lot of A's fans standing and cheering for him.
I would say he is certainly one of the three or four most important Giants this franchise has had since moving to San Francisco, in that he kept things going, kept things afloat. He became the face of the franchise after Barry Bonds left.
Things happened.
The franchise elected not to keep him, but they had Timmy to step in to be the face of the franchise, and he was such an important transitional figure, and he became more than a transitional figure. They realized, that before it was, we've got to win with this while we have this window of opportunity with Barry Bonds. Then it became, we've got to win while we have this window of opportunity, having Matt Cain and Tim Lincecum, and look what happened.
What is your, off the top of your head, favorite memory of covering Tim Lincecum?
Well, off the top of my head, maybe the very first one. Everybody was freaking out about Barry Zito being in camp. This is 2007, and of course Bonds in the home run chase. And we had, the organization I worked for had a fella who mainly covered the Bonds stuff, and so I was left to write about, think of it, baseball. And so I see this little guy here sitting by himself wearing his, this little windbreaker buttoned up to the top. I'm thinking, and I knew who it was Tim, and I was thinking, God, nobody's talking to this guy. And so I introduced myself, sat down and talked to him, and he talked about pitching and, almost sounded like a professor the way he'd use certain physical terms and all that. And it was refreshing from the get-go. And as we talked off the mic, it just kept on being refreshing.
I have an odd one. I think the no-hitters for me, I wasn't around. I started in 2012, so I missed his great years. But the no-hitters were special. But I also, that postseason when they put him in the bullpen, and you could see him kind of, especially in Cincinnati where we had a direct view of the bullpen, and you could see him kind of grabbing onto the fence, eager to get a shot. And then every time he came in, it was kind of magical. I think that was you can't really replicate. And it's during those home games, too. I know I used to sit next to Tim Kawakami and would be staring at the top step at some point, just waiting, because you knew as soon as he stepped onto that top step and bullpen catcher ran out there, the park was going to explode and things were going to kind of ramp up a little bit.
It was like having a great sixth man on a basketball team. Just somebody who injected a lot of energy, as you say, just by getting off the bench and doing his thing. God, you've got me going now mentally. I'm thinking of all these great Tim Lincecum moments. The time he got up in the bullpen actually didn't do that well on paper, but he still got a big out in Game 6 of the 2010 LCS at Philadelphia. Just seeing him get up to warm up, it was like Bruce Bochy's strategy all played out better than as well as he could have hoped. And, he had Lincecum like the next to last, Lincecum as a setup guy. There's so many. It's impossible to count.
I think we could do an hour on this, but
we could.
Timmy's now an angel, and we both still cover the Giants. And they will be back in town soon. But Timmy was here for a weekend. It was a fun weekend, and I think fun for the fans here, and it looked like he had a lot of fun too. Had a smile on his face the entire time.
I think he did, and it's a nice way to kind of, I guess, in a sense, not say goodbye, but you know, say see you later, and you know, again, in his way, you know, transition from what he had with the Giants to what he's got going now. I think he's focused on what he's got going now.
I think he is too. He looked like he kind of had a pretty good idea of what he wants to do. Chris Happ, thank you for joining me here in the press box at the Coliseum, and We'll leave it at that. We had Tim Winscombe on the podcast, and now we'll go back to covering the Giants.
Sounds like fun. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Chris.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's the perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.